Blog Talk Radio.
Well, God bless you. This is once again today. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and we must rejoice and be glad in it. One thing I want to do is thank you for listening to us tonight. We have a great program for the Lord. And one thing I would ask you to do, Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, that you will bless us and keep us and move us to the right direction. Father, we want to thank you for everything you have shown us today, taught us to do, instructed us to do. Moreover, without you, we can do nothing. But it's because of the rising of the sun early this morning that you were still God and you made all things possible. For this we said thank you. We said thank you, and we love you, and we adore you. And we magnify your name, and we thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us. And this day we just say hallelujah to you, and we praise you, and we love you, and we adore you, and we magnify your name. And then, Father, I want to thank you for everything that you have done, what you're doing for me, what you're showing me what I need to do. I thank you, Father, for the rising to the setting. I thank you for when you woke me up early this morning, Father. You woke me up and opened my eyes to see a new day, which I didn't even know. While I slept last night, you watched over me, and I want to thank you. I want to thank you for everything you have done for me. And, Father, I want to thank you for the whole body, my whole body. I want to thank you for those who love the Lord, who are calling on the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, that they know that we know that without him we can do nothing. But it's through him we can do all things. And I thank you tonight, Father, for everything you have done. I praise you. I love you. I adore you. I magnify your name. Tonight is the name that's above every name. I realize, oh, Father, that nothing can be happening without you. For in your word, I want to thank you for the teachers that you have, that you assigned, Father, that have been busy. And then, Father, I just want to say thank you, Father. I want to thank you, Father. I just know that you want to pour out the Holy Spirit to all of us who believe. Pour it upon us, Father. Pour it upon us, Father. Pour it upon us, Father. The fullness of it, Father. Pour it upon us, Father. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for joy. I want to thank you for peace. I want to thank you for long-suffering. I want to thank you for being misunderstood. I want to thank you, Father, for when I was down and out, you kept pulling me up and over. I want to thank you, Father, for everything. And, Father, I want to pray for my family, my wife. I pray for complete healing. Fall upon her body in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, that you will just look upon and have mercy. I pray this day in the name of Jesus that you will just do all that you say you're going to do. This is the day that we call on you. This is the day we love you. This is the day we adore you. This is the day we magnify you. This is the day we say, without you, Father, we can do nothing. Today is another day we call on your name, Father. And we want to say thank you in Jesus' name of Nazareth. Amen. 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 Go ahead, Jason. You're on live.
Good evening, Dr. Hunter. How are you doing this evening?
I'm blessing you.
I'm doing well. Doing well. It's good to hear your voice and hear you doing well this evening.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Well, amen. Again, I thank you again, Dr. Hunter, for having me on again this evening, this week. I want to give honor and glory to God for making all these things possible, for the continuing advancement of his gospel that has moved forward. It has moved forward regardless of the wiles and the devices of the dark powers in the heavenly realms. And I just thank you for this, thank the Lord for this opportunity to fellowship and share what he has given to me to share. Amen. And I want to say to our listening audience, as we prepare to go into receiving the word that he has for us, I pray and I say to you grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. And I just pray that today that God opens up our hearts and our ears to receive what he has for us today. I want to open in the Gospel of John, chapter 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. Then we're going to do verses 25 to 27. And then we're going to skip over to Gospel of John, to John chapter 21 and do verses 15 through 19. But first, John 18, verses 15 through 18. And verse 15 reads, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, 'You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?' He said, 'I am not.' Now the servants also who had made the fire cold stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Skipping down to verses 25 through 27. Verse 25. "Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, 'You are not also one of the disciples, are you?' He denied it and said, 'I am not.' One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, 'Did I not see you in the garden with him?' Peter then denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed." We're going to move on down to John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. John 21, verses 15 through 19. This is the Lord talking to Peter. Verse 15. "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish.' This he spoke, signifying by what death he will glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Now, Peter, as we've just read this account of his denial, and we read the account of God restoring him, Peter is an example of how, even though we walk with the Lord, even though we spend a lot of time in his presence, we have a fallen nature and we're not perfect. And sometimes we get wrong. Sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we fall in our walk with God. And his apostles were no different. They all had their shortcomings. They all had different things that they had to deal with being in the presence of our Lord Jesus Savior. But this is just an example of how that no matter how close a relationship we are with God, there will be times that we'll fall because we're not perfect like him. But because of the fact that he is God, because of the fact that he died on the cross and then was resurrected in 3 days, he empowers us not only to walk rightly with him, but through his blood sacrifice and resurrection, he's able to and has claimed the right to restore us to the Father, even though that we fall. And so as we talk about a walk in sometimes falling, there's different ways that we, because there's sometimes in our walk, I don't care who you are, there are going to be failures. There are going to be things that you're going to find that you might get wrong, or there's times where you feel like, you thought you heard God, and then you find out later you really didn't hear him. So there's going to be failures in our walk with God. And there are some different ways, depending on the person, depending on the background, depending on how they were raised and what they experienced, we respond to failure in different ways. Some people, it brings them into depression. They get very discouraged. The depression is what they deal with. For some people, it's angst. You know, they get very angry. They get very frustrated. And it just, you know, they just enter that place to kind of respond to coming up short or really making the wrong decision. Some people lose hope. They lose hope. Some of us lose hope where we don't believe that, you know, we messed up so bad, we made such a wrong turn, the wrong direction, that there's no hope for us and that the situation we're in is hopeless. And then some people, they may, you know, I know some people that, or even a lot of us, would always respond the same way all the time, but that sometimes in life when there is failure, we might dwell in depression and anger for a short period of time. But I know some people that eventually what happens, they come out of that, and it just reconfirms their dedication to trying again. So they will get back on the horse and try it again. So sometimes it just reconfirms it, and they just go at it and try it again. You know, I use an example. When I was a kid, and I think I said this quite a few times on the show over the last year, is that you know, basketball was my favorite sport as I was a kid. And I remember being in middle school, and, you know, I played live and breathe basketball. And I remember when I first really started playing, I did everything on my right hand. I shot my right hand. I drove my right hand. I favored my right hand all the time. And so I was very good at scoring, very good at getting any basket I wanted to. But as time went on, as I got a little older, the competition got better, a little bit more smart, and people started playing me to my left. And I started experiencing difficulty, you know, because no matter how hard I tried, if I run faster to the right, if I say I'm going to get faster, I'm going to run to the right, or I try to do a juke to the left, they knew I was going to the right. They knew I was going to shoot to the right, they knew I was going to go for a layup to the right. They knew even when I went to the left, I was going to come under the basket and try to come to the right-hand side. And what started happening was that because of this situation I was dealing with, my game was starting to affect the teams I played on, stuff like that. I started suffering failure on the court the place that I love to do so much. And it was time and time and time after again. It almost cost me even getting on the basketball team. And so after a couple repeated failures in a certain different place, you know, I experienced the depression, anger. You know, at one point I thought I was just going to give the basketball up. But at one point, I got to a place where I kind of came out of it a little bit, and I made a decision that I wasn't going to let this stop me from doing something that I love to do. So one summer, I took the advice of my father, and for one summer, I tied my right hand behind my back, and I played with my left hand the whole summer. I didn't care what it was. We played a pickup game. I never dribbled with my right hand. Everything, I drew with my left hand, shot my left hand, layups with my left hand the whole summer. The whole summer, nothing but left hand. And when I came out of that situation the next year playing organized sports, it took a while for opponents to adjust to that because I was burning them to the left. And it almost appeared that I was more left-handed than right-handed because I had spent the whole summer determined to succeed in that situation. And so that was, you know, an example of, you know, how I was able to kind of persevere through that situation. But a lot of times, many times, we don't always respond that way. And it focuses specifically on in our walk with the Lord or the things that we try to do. Sometimes we let those things get us down. And so when we reflect on what Peter, we're going to talk a little bit about what Peter went through in terms of his walk with the Lord, him standing and saying what he's going to do, but then not being able to carry out and feeling like he failed God in that way. And one of the things we're going to take away from this lesson is failing is not the most important part of our story. It's how we respond to those failures is what matters the most. And what we're going to take away from this today is, especially as believers, we learn not to depend on ourselves, to pull ourselves up out of these situations, but we look back towards Christ in these situations. So we're going to talk a little bit about this story, Peter, which we just opened up with, not only his experience through failing, but most importantly we want to capture today is how God sought to restore him to himself, and how we can apply this portion of the word to our everyday life and our relationship with God and others. So the first part of the scripture that we talked about was John 18, 15, verses 15 through 18, 25 and 27, which are the three times that Peter denied Christ. Peter denied Christ. And the reason why this is such a very powerful part of scripture is because of the fact that Peter made a significant proclamation early in the ministry, and when Jesus told him that, you know, that they were going to fall away, and he stood in front of Jesus and said, look, even if everybody else fall away, I'm not. So it wasn't like he just said that, you know, he sat in a room with the apostles and, you know, he just kind of said it within himself. And so when it happened, it's not as much shame because he didn't just stand up and say, I'm going to do it. No, he stood up front and spoke and said, even if they do, I ain't. And so that's what made his situation, the shame, some of the emotions he must have felt even more grieving to him. And not necessarily because he spoke that, but also because, you know, he loves the Lord. He loves Jesus. But in that moment, when it got ready to happen, he found himself in fear of not being able to stand. What I'm referring to is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 34 through 35. Matthew chapter 26, verses 34 to 35, and it says, Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. And so Peter stood up bold and made this statement. And so as we kind of fast forward to John chapter 18, you know, we start to kind of examine. We need to kind of examine some of the emotions that may have caused Peter to deny Christ in that moment, may have caused him to not stand in that affirmation, that statement that he made then. What are some of those things? Well, we talked about it earlier. One of the things that causes us sometimes to fall, you know, because a lot of times we look at Peter and we say, you know, he said he's going to stand with God, but how many times in our everyday life if we look at the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to stand in this situation. I don't care what nobody says. I'm going to stand for you. But then when we're in the fire, when we're in the furnace, we're ready to get out at an escape chat, and all of a sudden our resolve is almost just gone. And so in a lot of ways, what we find ourselves doing is having experiences, some of those same emotions. And one of those emotions that caused Peter to not be able to stand in that moment for Christ is fear. And that's the very opposite that happened in fear. I mean, you can imagine that he's now in a situation, and I don't know what he could have been thinking at the time when he said he was not going to deny Christ. I can only imagine maybe he probably didn't imagine that he was going to be in that set for that to happen. He may have thought that if Christ was getting arrested and all these different things that Jesus said was going to happen to him, that maybe he'd be off or far and never be confronted with this thing. But the way the scriptures read, he denied him publicly, not only in front of other people, but also for some of the other disciples to witness. It also witnessed him say that he was not going to fall away. And so and I can only imagine now that he was in that situation, that exactly happened the way Jesus said it was going to happen, there had to be some fear. But the question isn't so much that he had fear because it could tend to be free from obvious answer, but why? Why, other than the fact that maybe he's just afraid of death, why fear? And I think that the answer to this is very much parallel to why sometimes we find ourselves not standing for Christ in very uncomfortable situations. I firmly believe that in a lot of ways that Apostle Peter, like a lot of them, the disciples, didn't really truly understand Jesus' mission. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is that, you know, Jesus made he perhaps has quite about quite a few things. He says things like, he told me, he said, look, the day is going to come. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be turned over to the Pharisees and scribes. They're going to beat me, flog me. They're going to kill me. And he's going to treat me on the third day. I'm going to rise again. Now, you imagine if you are one of the 12 sitting there listening to this, and he said it multiple times, you know, you hear him, but it's like, but you're supposed to be coming and being the savior of Israel. I mean, that conflict had to be going in their mind. And I think when he started talking about Jesus, talking about why he was going to do it, I believe a lot of times the reason why we fear those situations is because we don't really understand the perfect love of God. I think in a lot of ways that the apostles, even Peter, have to think that I hear what the Lord is saying, but is he truly going to go to his death and die for us that's not worthy of our sins to be forgiven when he has been perfect and he's done nothing to deserve that? That type of love was unheard of in the planet. Unheard of. Unheard of. And so I think in a lot of ways, them as well, sometimes we don't understand the perfect love of God, that he loves us just that much, that he is willing to die in order that we may live. And I believe in a lot of ways, because Peter and we too fail to embrace the perfect love that Christ has for us, then fear comes in. Okay, when I say embrace, when we believe and we embrace the perfect love of God, then that love replaces any fear. And one thing you learn, the longer you're in God, you realize that fear and love are polar opposites. They cannot coexist within us. Where there's fear, there's not love. But where there's love, there is no fear. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 through 19, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 through 19 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made in perfect love. We love him because he loved us first. Amen. But he who fears has not been made in perfect love. See, at that moment, Peter had not been made in perfect love because he didn't believe in the perfect love of Christ. And many times in our lives, we get in those moments where we have to stand, or we have to be in a position where we have to stand out for Christ, whether it's by speaking, sometimes not by speaking. A lot of times it's just by living the right way before people that will give honor and glory to God. Sometimes we're afraid of this because we don't understand the perfect love of God. We have not embraced that in our life. And as a result of not really believing and embracing the perfect love of God, then what is driving our decision to kind of put our lamp underneath a pillow or not let our light shine or holding our fault to ourselves is fear. Is fear. And so what we need to remember is, and it's something that Peter is going to experience, that perfect love in John 21, which we're going to touch on in a minute to drive this point home. And here's the thing: when we're able to embrace the perfect love of God, it's something that it does to our faith. And see, I put it this way: fear is water; it's like water to the fire of faith. Fear is like water to the fire of faith. You put fear on you. If you have enough fear to overcome. Enough fear can overcome your faith. It will quench faith out. Fear is the water to fire faith. And his love, but Christ's perfect love is gasoline fanning the flames of faith. That's what it does. When we embrace his perfect love, it fans the flame of faith. And our faith becomes more, and we just get more on fire for God, more welled up with his truth and his word. And that's what it is. I mean, Peter, and this was not the first time that Peter allowed his faith in God, his embracing the perfect love of God, caused him to fall in a situation to believe him. The same thing happened when he was walking on the water. You know, they saw, the Bible says they saw Jesus, out there on the water. And Peter, again, being bold like he was, he was the first to speak up, and he said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come out on the water to you. And Jesus looked at him and said, put his hand out and said, come. And Peter stepped out on that water, full of faith. And the whole time, he kept his focus on Jesus, who is perfect love. He had his faith on him. But at some point along the way, he started to look at the winds and the walls underneath him, and he took his eye off of perfect love, and he began to sink and fall. He lost faith in who Jesus claimed himself to be. He began to see. And that's the first thing Jesus said to him when he grabbed him up one. He said, why did you lose faith? You see, so this whole issue of perfect love is directly tied to our faith. And when we lack understanding of how God loves us, it affects how we respond to failure. It affects. Sometimes we can be too hard on ourselves. Sometimes we can feel unworthy of restoration, of being restored by God. We feel like, we start feeling like, I'm one bad decision away from God just opening up the earth and just swallowing me in. And sometimes we just feel like, I can't even go to God and say nothing because, he asked me to do this, and he asked me, and I tried it, but I just wasn't able to do it, and I just know he's just not going to forgive me and restore me. And again, that's reflective of someone who has fear in them, who has lacking, that their faith is very low in them, and when we don't understand, the perfect love of God. And as a result of that, we'll do things for a period of time to try to cover up the shame of what we feel has happened. We'll try to hide it. Sometimes we'll deny that it happened. We'll put on facades like everything is okay in front of people. And so embracing fear and fleeing from the perfect love of God is not just going to affect us in the moment that it happens, but it also affects us in the steps we take after it. What we'll learn about when we go forward now to Gospel John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19, that we're going to see that God in his perfect love restoring peace, calling him back to himself. When I read the passage of Jesus going back and forth with Peter and asking, do you love him? Of course you see some things that are very obvious. That Jesus asked him the same question three times, which matches the three times that Peter denied him. I don't know if the Lord was trying to make a point. I don't think that he was, but I do firmly believe that he was restoring Peter back to him. And when I think about how Jesus was going about that and just putting that perfect love on Peter, there's just not words. There's not words. Because you think about Peter's standpoint, he's reflecting and he's looking back on this whole situation he had to be. And he boasted and prophet claimed to be with him, but then when time came, he denied him. So he wouldn't even take himself back. And sometimes we feel that way. We won't even pull ourselves. See, we don't even want to, ourselves to even be back. We're not even worthy to do anything that God asks us to do. But one thing you see very clearly in this section of Scripture is that the nature of God and his perfect love. God does not seek, just like Peter, he doesn't seek to condemn us. He is in the reconciliation business. And he did so by loving him and not condemning him. And so that's what Jesus was doing. If you remember in the Gospels, Jesus spoke to him and told him, he said that, he spoke to him, Peter, Satan has asked you to sift you as wheat is what his Bible says. But he said, but I am praying for you that after you get done going through this fall, that you will come back and be restored to us. And so Jesus already knew all these things were going to happen, and all he's simply doing is carrying out reconciling Peter. Because one thing you learn when you're walking with God, just because you fall, it changes nothing about the purpose he put for you in your life. Changes nothing. It changes nothing, and so the best thing we can do is if we do make a mistake, We know we kind of turn from God in a certain way, that we come back to him, we confess those things, get those things out, and come right back into what God has for us. And so we're going to take a different slant on this, is that sometimes the person that's fallen and stumbling in God is not necessarily us. You know, sometimes maybe someone that we've been fellowship with, whether it's a friend, maybe somebody at church, someone has been in fellowship with us that our believers that has fallen away from God and stumbled in some way, but they're going through the process, they're coming back. They've accepted the perfect love of God, but, you know, there's steps in coming back. And, you know, so one of the things is that Jesus is perfect love, and the Bible says that we are ambassadors of Christ, so we are to emulate his glory. We are to bring forth what he stands for and be examples of his love, not only in word but in deed. Then how, in some ways, can we be like Christ to help someone else that is trying to get things right and come back to the Father? Well, the easy answer to that is love. Okay, that's the simple answer to that. But let's go a little deeper. Let's talk about what does love really mean? What does that really mean? And I'm going to hit 3 points, and I'll be closing here. What does love them really mean? Number one, engage in fellowship with them. Engage in fellowship with them. It's very important to be in fellowship. One of the most common things that happens when people are going through things, struggling, they start cutting off. Don't answer the phone. Stop coming to church. Start breaking fellowship a little bit. That's one of the first signs when you start knowing something's going up. But when someone is coming back and God is pulling them back into the situation and reconciled them and brought them back as ambassadors of Christ, to be like Christ, we engage in fellowship with them. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25 says, "And let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much as you see the day approaching." So we engage in fellowship with them. Number two, we also involve ourselves in prayer and confession. We go to prayer and confession with each other. We start to build that relationship back up with them. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Confess your trespasses to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." The benefit is healing. The benefit is healing. And so as we grow that relationship back, then we should be, you know, confessing one to another, because a lot of times, even though there's, you know, some of us, you know, whether it's us, there's going to be times in our life we feel very spiritual, strong in God, and there's times we're not going to feel such a way. But if we're in that situation where we're doing pretty good with God, we're feeling spiritually strong, someone's feeling spiritually weak, our confession to them could be a testimony, man, because sometimes you never know how they look at you. They might think that you know, man, you're perfect. I mean, you never make mistakes. But they start hearing your confessions, in other words, your testimony about some of the areas and places where you have fallen in your life, you know, that helps them. That helps them because they begin to think, you know what, if, you know, a brother such can do that, then, you know, God can help me do that too. And so that helps them with their faith. So the confessing one to another is also part and portion of loving them. And lastly, we show love, we share their burdens. We share their burdens. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2 says, "Brother, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of gentleness. Consider yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And what is the law of Christ? Jesus gave a new commandment in the Gospels, one new commandment. And he said in John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, he says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another." So we love them as we love ourselves. We love them as we love ourselves. We love them as Christ has loved us. And if we do those primary things, then we are doing our part in assisting the reconciliation and the restoration. We're doing our part. You know, the Holy Spirit and God does the main part, but we do our part in helping this person be reconciled to Jesus Christ. And the great thing about this is that as they overcome, or we're that person and we overcome, that then becomes our testimony to add to our list of testimonies of how great God is. And then the time will come when someone else will be going through, and then we will be, you or I will be able to share with them the great restoration of Christ. And we know what Apostle Peter did because of the great and perfect love that Christ showed him on that day. And he carried the gospel all the way to death, all the way to death. And it wasn't because of just he was trying to obey. It wasn't because of the fact that Jesus told him to do it. It was because he had seen the perfect love in his life. That no matter how far he had gone, God was calling him back. And through love, he carries Christ's mission to the end. And I thank you for listening. And amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, my brother. And we will talk with you later, okay? Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hello, Doctor. How are you doing?
Hey, Apostle. How you doing, Doctor Hunter?
How you doing, Apostle? How's everything going with you?
Oh man, I tell you, man, I'm excited about God.
Amen.
I'm excited about Yahweh, bro, Doctor.
Yahweh, yes, sir. Now,
hey. Amen. How you doing?
I'm excited about Doc. I'm excited about it, man.
Hey, amen. I'm excited about Yah.
Yah.
Glory to God. He's
man,
awesome.
I have sit up here most of the time and say Yah. Yah.
Woo! It's power in that name.
Yah. The one who
brings our promises to pass.
Yes, he does. Well, amen. So we got a lot of big deals coming up for this weekend, haven't we?
Oh yeah,
and, are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Well, all right then. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Amen.
Glory to God. I'm excited about Dr. Hunter. Aren't you excited about the things of God?
All the time, all the time.
Amen. He's keeping us alive.
Can't miss me on that one. No, sir.
Amen.
I want to thank God for your patience, your perseverance. And I know you got something to tell the people tonight, so we want to hear you what you got to say. Amen?
All right. Glory to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I'm just so grateful to be able to minister God's word. I love God's word. I love God's people. I tell you, I'm excited. I tell you, it's like, you know, a little kid in the candy store. Man, doing the work of the Lord, I feel like I'm a little kid in the candy store, Dr. Hunter.
Amen.
All right, the message God has given me today is how to obtain God's promises. It's one thing to hear about God's promises, but it's another thing to possess them. How to obtain God's promises. I tell you, there's a lot of folks, you know what, they go throughout life without even obtaining the promises, a lot of the promises that God had for them. They didn't get them. They didn't possess them. So, and that's possible for all of us, to go throughout life and not obtain all the promises that God has for us. So he has right here in the Word. He has right here in the Word how to obtain, how to possess. Get his promises in our hands. How to obtain God's promises. Now I'm reading from I'm reading from Joshua chapter 14, and we're going to be talking about Caleb. Boy, I tell you, Caleb was a gangster. I love Joshua and Caleb. I tell you, Caleb was hardcore. He was sold out for Yah. Wasn't he, Dr. Hunter?
Yes, he was.
He was sold out. I tell you, he was cold. I tell you, he was cold. He was a gangster. I tell you, man. I love Caleb. Now I'll be reading from Joshua chapter 14. I'm talking about a gangster in a good way, a gangster for God. You know what? Don't take no mess. You're not gonna scare me off, man. I'm gonna take care of business. That's how Caleb was. Now I'm reading from Joshua chapter 14. And I'll be reading verses 6 through 14. Now, let me go ahead and give out these points, and then I'll go over them. I'm going to do it that way tonight. How to obtain God's promises, I'll be talking about three points that I see here in the scriptures. How to obtain God's promises. Number one, we got to carry out what God told us to do. You got to determine in your mind that you're going to carry out what God has told you to do. Just do it. Remember that commercial years ago? I think it was a Nike commercial, and they said, just what? Just do it. Yeah, just do it. Carry out what God told you to do. No matter how small you think it is, no matter how hard you think it is, no matter how impossible you think it is, you determine in your mind that you're going to carry out what God told you to do. I'm talking about how to obtain the promises of God. And I'll show you in the scripture what I'm talking about. Number two, you have to have a good self-image. You've got to have a good self-image of yourself. You got to see yourself in a good way. You got to see yourself in a good way. Don't look at yourself like, oh, I'm a worm, I'm a dog, I'm nobody, I'm no count, poor me. No, don't look at yourself like that. You got to look at yourself. You got to have a good self-image. You got to see yourself in a good way. And number three, you got to have a positive mental attitude. You have to have a positive mental attitude. You got to be an optimist. You got to be an optimist. You got to think positive. I tell you, don't go around thinking negative, but think positive. Have a positive mental attitude. And those are the three points that I'll be discussing tonight.
Amen.
The message is how to obtain the promises of God. Now let's look at Joshua chapter 14, beginning with verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Now here's Caleb. He's looking back on when God gave him an assignment through Moses. He was told by Moses, I want you to go and spy out the land. I want you to go out and spy out the land. Go check it out. And I want you to come back and report to me. So Moses sent Caleb. Well, you remember that. Moses sent Caleb and Joshua. It was all together. Well, what was it, 10 of them? It was 10 of them. And was it 12 of them? There were so many of them. There were 10 or 12 spies, and they went out to spy out the land. And then the majority came back with a bad report. Only Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report. You remember that, Dr. Hunter?
Yes, sir.
They came back. But the other spies, they were crying like little wimps. Oh, there's giants in the land. There's giants in the land. And we look like grasshoppers in our own sight. Shut up. Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. But Joshua and Caleb came back with a whole different report. They said, we can take the land. Good God Almighty. We can take the land. That's what Joshua and Caleb said. They said, we can take the land. You see, you got to watch out. You hang around. You don't want to be hanging around no wimps, always making up an excuse. When God tells us to do something, let's just say, hey, I'm going to do it. I ain't going to worry about how it's going to get done. I know God's going to help me because he's the one that's called me to do it. So we just have to determine in our mind, number one, we just have to determine in our mind that we're going to carry out what God told us to do. I don't care how things look. I don't care how hard things look. I'm going to carry out what God told me to do. Now let's look at verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Now, you know those other spies. It was Joshua and it was Caleb and the majority, the other spies, they brought back, Dr. Hunter, they brought back a bad report. They say we were like grasshoppers even in our own sight. They were negative, and they were scared and caused about 3 million people, 3 to 3.5 million of people, caused them to be in fear, caused them to be scared, and they moaned and groaned and whined all night long because of the negative report that those old wimpy spies brought back. But Joshua and Caleb, man, I tell you, they were some gangsters for God. They say, man, you know what? We can take the land. God said we can do it. We can do it. Now look at verse 8. That's right. We can do it. We can, Dr. Arnold, we can take the land. I don't care how things look. I don't care. God, man, I tell you, God, he's an expert. He's an expert in doing miracles. He's an expert in doing what seems to be impossible. He's a miracle-working God. And, I mean, he's an all-powerful God. Is there anything too hard for God? And so we can take the land. And so look what it says here in verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. You see, Caleb said he wholly followed the Lord Yah. He wholly followed Yah. In other words, he said, I carried out what God told me to do. He said, I wholly followed Yah. Now, that word followed in the Hebrew is male. 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 He said he wholly followed Yah. In other words, he fulfilled what God told him to do. He accomplished what Yah told him to do. Male. It means to fulfill. It means to carry out, to follow, to carry out, to do what Yah tells you to do. You got to make up in your mind that you're going to carry out the assignment that Yah told you to do. One scripture says in Matthew 6:33, the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, of Yah, and his righteousness, his way of doing things. And then he says, and all these things shall be added unto you, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, the necessities of life. You see, all we got to do is wholly follow what carry out male. Holy, carry out, fulfill what Yah has called us to do. Just do it. Just do it. And you don't have to worry about your needs. Yah said, don't even worry about your needs. All you got to do is male. Follow. Carry out what I've told you to do, and all the necessities of life will be added unto you. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. You see, he wants us focusing on carrying out what he's told us to do, no matter how small, no matter how big, no matter how difficult it looks. He just wants us to make up in our hearts, like Caleb did, and carry out, fulfill, follow the Lord our God. Follow Yah. Do what he told you to do. That's what it says in verse 8. I'm reading from Joshua chapter 14 and verse 8. Now listen to what Joshua said. I just went over it. He said, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly, followed, the word for followed in Hebrew is I wholly followed. Followed the Lord my God. Followed. And it means I fulfilled what God told me to do. I carried out what God told me to do. I fulfilled what he told me to do. God, you told me to do it. I went and did it.
That's
you
it.
Told me to go spy out the land and bring you back the report. I did it. Male. It means to follow. It means to fulfill. It means to carry out what God told you to do. Now let's look at verse 9. And Moses swore that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine. Good God Almighty. Now you said, if I fulfill what you told me to do, that you would give me the land. You see, so Caleb, he's wanting what? He's wanting his promise now. He's saying, Yah, I did. I did what you told me to do. Now I want my promise.
I want my promise.
You see, it's all right to approach Yah like that when you've done what he told you to do. Now we have a right to go and say, well, I did what you told me to do, Yah. Now, I want my what? I want my promise.
Right.
You see? Male. It means to fulfill what God has called you to do. Now, in verse 9, it says, and Moses swore on that day, listen to that, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast what? Holy. Follow the Lord my God. Male. And it means to fulfill, it means to carry out what God has told you to do. Just do it. We're talking about how to obtain the promises of God, how to obtain God's promise. We want to know how to get God what God promised us in our little hot hands, Dr. Hyman.
I hear you.
Don't you want what God has promised you?
Yes.
Well, we're going to have to what? The Hebrew word is what? Male. Male. It means to follow. It means to fulfill. It means to carry out. It means to do what God has told us to do. Male.
Yes.
That's what we got to do. And then he said, look at verse 10. He says, and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Good God Almighty. See, Caleb, he's looking on his life now. He's looking on his life. He said, God told me to do something. I did it. God promised me that he'll give me this land wherever my feet has walked. He'll give it to me if I do what he told me to do, Male, and I've done that. And God has kept me alive. Good man, I'm about to run around in this house. God will keep you alive when you're doing what he told you to do. God will keep you alive. You can't die. You can't die when you're doing what God told you to do. Good God Almighty. You can't even die. The devil can't even kill you when you're doing what God told you to do. And that's what Caleb said. He says, now behold, the Lord, Yah, have kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He said, I'm 85 years old now. I did what God told me to do. God has kept me alive. Glory to God. You see, he carried out. We're talking about how to obtain God's promise. Number one, I said, you got to carry out what God told you to do. Male. Male is the Hebrew word. Male. You got to fulfill. You got to accomplish what God has told you to do. Now, Number one, that's number one. That's what you got to do. Number two, you got to have a good self-image. You got to see yourself in a good way. You can't see yourself as a weakling, as a sissy. No. You got to see yourself as I can do all things through Christ, through Yeshua HaMashiach. I can do all things through Yeshua who strengthens me.
Yes, that's how
we got to see ourselves. We got to see ourselves. We got to have a good self-image, a good self-image. We got to see ourselves in a good way. And Caleb, he was 85 years old, Dr. Hunter, 85 years old, but he still had a good self-image. He saw himself in a good way. Look at verse 11. In verse 10, he says, I'm reading from Joshua chapter 14. In verse 10, he says, I'm 85 years old. And look what he says in verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Good God Almighty. He said, I'm just as strong now as I was when I was 45. He said, I'm 85 now, and I'm just as strong. You see, he got a good self-image, Dr. Hunter.
Amen.
Just like you. You remind me of Caleb, Dr. Hunter. You remind me of Caleb. You're still going strong. You ain't looking no time soon to be dying, and you ain't looking for no burial plot. You say,
I've got too much to do for God.
Yeah, we got 120 years.
Yes, we
got 120 years. God satisfies us with long life. Genesis 6:3, man's days shall be 120 years. You see, Caleb wasn't looking to die. He wasn't looking to die at 85. In verse 11, he said, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. He said, for war, both to go out and to come in. He said, I'm still ready to go to war. At 85.
You got me rocking.
Glory to God. You see, Caleb had a good self-image. He had a good self-image. He saw himself in a good way. He carried out what God told him to do, male, and number two, he had a good self-image of himself. He saw himself in a good way. And look what he says in verse 20. He said, I'm ready to go to war at 85. I'm ready to do it. Look what he says in verse 12. He said, now therefore, give me this mountain. Give me what you promised me. He said, now therefore, give me this mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, what God promised me. Yah promised me this land. He promised me this mountain. So he said, number one, Amale, I fulfilled what he told me to do. I did what God told me to do. And number two, I have a good self-image. He said, I'm still strong as I was when I was 45. He said, now there's no excuses, and I ain't making up no excuses. Now give me my mountain.
Give me
what you promised me, God. Give me what you promised me.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Now, therefore, in a respectful way, he respects Yah. He respects him. But he knows that Male, when we do what God told us to do, and we have a good self-image, we can expect to get the promise what God promised us. So he says, now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. He said, give me my mountain. I can drive them out at 85. Give me my mountain. What a awesome self-image Caleb had of himself. You see, Dr. Hunter, to obtain the promises of God, we got to carry out what God told us to do, male, and we got to have a good self-image. We got to have a good self-image of ourselves. We got to see ourselves in a good way. And number three, my final point, number three, we have to have a positive mental attitude.
Amen.
We got to think positive. We can't be all negative. We got to think positive. Now, here Caleb is 85 years old, and he's still wanting what God promised him. He carried out Male. He did what God told him to do. Number two, he have a good self-image. But not only do he have a good self-image, he has a positive mental attitude. He's positive. See, we got to stay positive. We can't be negative. Don't even hook up with negative people. They'll bring you down. We got to be around people that brings us up, that keeps us motivated, that keeps us positive. Look at Joshua chapter 14. I'm going to show you how positive Caleb was. Joshua chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. He says, now, therefore, give me this mountain. He's 85 years old. He said, I know it's fenced and all that. It's fenced in, and there's still the Anakims up there, which the enemy is still there. But he said, if you be with me, Lord, I know that I'll be able to drive them out. Glory to God. I don't have the money to do what you told me to do, but God just showed me how to get it, and I'll do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I know you can give me the plan, and I can get it done. You see, that's how we got to be. That's how we got to talk. We got to have a positive attitude. Dr. Hunter, I don't know what the money is. I don't have the money. I don't know what to do, but God, I know you do, and you can show me what to do to drive the enemy out, to get done what you want me to carry out. You understand?
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about, Dr. Hunter?
Yes, sir.
We don't know how to, man, we need his help. And so Caleb said, Lord, if you help me and be with me, I'll get it done. I can drive him out. You see, he has positive mental attitude. And look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. You see, he obtained his promise. He obtained his promise. Why? Because he carried out what God told him to do. Male, he had a good self-image, number two. And number three, he had a positive mental attitude. And you can see in Joshua chapter 14, verse 13, Joshua blessed him and gave him his inheritance.
Amen.
In verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he wholly, Male, fulfilled, carried out, and did what God told him to do. Glory to God. And that's how you obtain God's promises. Number one, carry out what God told you to do. Male. Number two, have a good self-image. And number three, have a positive mental attitude. That's it, Doc.
That's it. Praise God. Amen. Well, you know what? I thank God for the word said, because what God has done to you tonight, I'll tell you this much, my brother. So God, I took the Male.
Male, that's it.
I want to make sure that I fulfill and that I follow God to fulfill.
Oh, come on, man. That's it. That's it. And you got plenty of time. You ain't even 85 years old yet.
Yeah, I always tell people, don't look at the age. Look at what God is capable of doing. And
come on now.
I'm sitting there just rocking myself backwards and forwards.
Come on, man.
See, I got to be quiet. I don't want to interrupt you because to get some, see, get to eat some kind of wood is so good. All you can shout hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's all you can do because God is so good. But you
He's
know
so
what, brother? That's things that are coming up before us. And it reminded me when you went to the book of Joshua, the 14th. Chapter, I began to study on Joshua chapter 1 where it says, take this word and learn to meditate on it day and night.
Yes, sir.
And I've been Malay and I've been doing it because I've been meditating on these words.
Yes, sir.
I'm healthy. I'm wealthy.
Yes.
I have all the guts that I can have. And all day long, that's what I've been muttering and that's what I've been doing all day, thanking God. And I feel what within my spirit man that God has heard what I said, because I followed the fulfillment. I promised God from 66 I would do it. And by yo, I did it. But you know what the devil did? The devil's a lie. He's
he
a
sure
lie.
Is.
He's a snag of tooth, Paulie. He's a
he
lie.
Sure is. He's a lie.
Lie. He's a lie. And, you know, I just thank God for everything that God has done through you. I thank God for you, for the faith that you have and believing what God is going to do through us and by us. All we got to do is say, Lord, give us this mountain. And we
give me my mountain. Give me what
give
you promised.
Give me my mountain. Give me my,
give me my mountain.
Give me my mountain. I mean, I'm not going to. Just give me my mountain. Give it to me. Why? Because I want to do what you told me to do. When my time is up, I don't want nobody looking back at me. See, I just got the word here the other day. One of my classmates that I went to school with, we plan on having the 50th anniversary for this year. He passed on from here to there. From 1964, we knew each other, and for the time that I did, but they said she died of cancer. And I said, we're going to pray for her family. We're going to pray that God will keep the family. See what's happening nowadays, my dear brother.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest. A lot of people don't want to get healed.
No, they don't. They don't want to. A lot of them don't.
If you want to get healed, you're going to stay to God's word.
That's right.
Now, I'm taking you back on your word. When you said what God had done for you, the devil tried to destroy your body, but you said, I wasn't taking that junk.
No, no. I'm not taking that junk from the devil. It don't belong to me.
I said, you know what? I don't like this man. See, but you, it's hard. See, I know that I'm telling some folks that, well, honey, you know, I'm just sick. I am not sick.
No, no, you're healed.
I'm healed. And see,
that's
I know
right.
This. And see, I was telling somebody, I said, well, what you going to do with what you got? I said, well, what I got don't belong to me. I'm doing what God said. I'm keeping my hand open. So the megaphones of blessing can pass through my hand to the person that needs help.
That's right. Amen.
And
that's right.
Yeah, that's what God wanted servants to do.
That's
keep
right.
Keep our hands open. Now, God's going to say, take that for yourself. Take that. But you got to keep your hand open because God is going to continue to pour out his blessing.
He sure is. He sure is, Doctor.
Yes, sir. I don't care what nobody say, but I do believe that you and I are going to do something we done prayed about, believed about. I'm watching God. God is going to do it.
He sure is, Dr. Arnold. That's why he got us together to do great things and be successful. And that's exactly what's going to take place. Man, I'm going to carry out what he told me to do.
Amen. See, I told somebody, I said, well, what if you can do that? I said, no, I ain't going to worry about that. When it happened, it's going to happen. I said, because when I do something, I make a long-distance phone call at night and wake him up. I said, brother, we got it. Let's move forward. I ain't going
to.
No.
Glory to God. Glory
right.
to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see what happened to Caleb? Caleb got what God promised him. He got it.
And you
he
know
got
what?
It.
He got it.
He got his promise. He got what God promised him, Dr. Hunter, because he did what God told him to do. He had a good self-image, and he had a positive attitude.
All the time.
All
the
time.
You know what, though, my brother? Is and Monday night, man, it was, my God almighty, it was two women on the radio. One of them was Tracy. Man, she started talking about the seven spirits of God, and she released the anointing on just like you're teaching. And she says, I love God, and God loves me. And I'm obeying. I don't care what nobody say. And, you know, things came around her, but we all prayed. And we watched God do a great thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm with love. God. God can do anything to the believer.
He can. Ooh, come on now, Dr. Arnold. He can do anything.
He can
anything,
do
anything, Dr. Arnold. He can raise up the lowest person.
See, but we just got to get the people to believe. And one thing I'll say is, when you trying to talk to God, you can't talk to God with a barren tone, with a low tone, with a no tone. You got to say Yahweh, Elohim.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I come to you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I come to you in Jesus' name. And see, when
yeah.
he sees the name Jesus, he says, wait a minute, that's my boys down there.
Come on
that's
now.
That's my boys down there. That's them. That's them.
Come
Tell
on.
What they need.
That's it. That's it, Dr. Hunt. That's
Woo.
It, Dr. Hunt. Give him what he needs. Give it to him.
See, I've already seen it, man. I've seen it 300 by 200. I know they've seen it. I'm increasing the footage of it. I done seen it.
Oh, glory to God.
And
glory
I'm
to God.
God. Somebody said, I said, no, because I'm doing what God told me to do. I said, you know what? All God wants you to do is to do what he said do. It's like
just
I was
do what he
says
do.
Do what he
said
do. I remember this young man, and I would say, because a lot of people are, the world has a statement to make, but if you look at this world as what the world is saying, you might learn something.
Yes.
This young boy, he was the youngest of the whole family, but his grandfather got killed. And had him do certain things to do. He said, you've been living good. You got a new car. You got an apartment. You got this. He says, I want you to do this to prove. You know what he did? He did everything he's supposed to do. And all of a sudden, that old man who had the wheel and take care of it, he says, I got one meeting I need to have with you. He said, are you available tomorrow? He said, yeah. He said, well, I will meet you. He sit him down. I'm getting goosebumps. Just listen to the story. There's a 2 point. He married 250. That was $2.5 billion.
Whoa.
Whoa!
Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, that's God.
That's
God.
But
there's
I told
nothing
somebody.
Impossible.
The teacher over there, Dr. Flanagan, said he was at a place, the man that was coming out says, everybody got faith? Yeah, he just started passing out $20 bills.
Yeah.
He said, well, Lord, I needed some money. He said, thank you, Lord. Doctor said it. He said, and all of a sudden, he said, man came back in there again. He said, everybody that got God's faith? Everybody said, yes. He passed that $20 again. And say, so he heard that man's testimony. He said,
yeah.
He said, I didn't have nothing, but since I've trusted in God, he said,
yeah.
One day, and the Lord told me to stop at the store on Washington Avenue and get a ticket. He said, I wanted to buy one ticket for $1.7 million.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
And you know what he said he did? He said,
what?
I'm obeying God. He said, because when I didn't have it, he said, nobody. He said, I had to go to the penitentiary because something that I didn't do. He said, but it brought me to understand. He said, to sleep outside, didn't have no place. I promised God. And
yeah.
After this, you know what? That's what God is happening today, what God is saying to the believer. It's up to us. It's up to us.
Yes, sir.
To get some people to be more in tune, a lot of people want to just see. I'm going to be honest with you. Yes, I am, brother. I don't like to push people, but I do like to encourage you.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's it.
And
that's wonderful.
If you can't have a prayer meeting, let me know so I can get somebody to help you. I'm trying to help you.
Yes.
And I say this because I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know what? I said, God is getting ready to do something. I don't understand what it is.
But
I said,
get right in time.
God is getting ready to do something. I'm a part of it.
Me, amen. Me too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he sure is getting ready to do something in this dispensation. Amen.
Yes,
he always does things in seasons. This is our season.
This is our, say it, that's it, brother. This is our season. And I was trying to tell some people that believe, I said, you know what? Don't come saying, I don't have no gas. I said, you ain't got no gas because you ain't got the faith to speak gas into your... See, I ran out of gas. I said, Lord, I knew this, coming from Bryan, Texas. It was dark on Highway 6 coming on 290. I said, Lord, I don't have no money. I said, I'm broke. I'm in a strange land. I said, I know how to get back to you, but Lord, you're going to have to direct me off. I have no money, Lord. I said, I don't know about it. I said, you know what? I drove all the way back to Houston, and there was that hand stayed empty. And I knew, but when I got home, as I was driving, I saw the hand moving up, full of gas.
Y'all can do stuff like that.
I told somebody, I said, oh, man, you must have been smoking a little. I said, no! No, I wasn't. Smoking love what I was doing because I care if I didn't run out of gas, but the idea, I promised my wife I was going to get home, and I had made a commitment. When I make a commitment to you, my brother, when God do it, be assured.
That's it. Amen.
It's a done deal.
Amen.
It's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
Amen.
Tell nobody say, you can ask my wife, it's a done deal. But
it's
God,
done deal.
For me, he told me to do it. It's a done deal. Ain't got to be no, it's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
It's a done deal. God always finishes what he starts.
See, and that on that to some other thing that God's given me to do. And I told people, so what you trying to do? To stand up? I said, no, I just want to do what God told me to do.
That's it. That's it. Marley. That's it, Dr. Hunter. Marley.
Marley.
You want to carry out what he told you to do.
That's it. And I tell some people, I say, you know what? This radio station came because of me doing what God, Marley. God
that's it.
Gave me an insight.
That he sure did.
He did it. And you see, it right now, it's
he sure did.
We got a radio station.
That's right. We're on it right now.
Right now,
right
say, and I tell people, I said, this is not about me. It's about Yeshua HaMashiach.
That's it. Yeshua HaMashiach.
My Mashiach. He's the one who says all things are possible.
He's the one. And you just Male. You fulfilled what he told you to do.
And
Male.
I've done it.
You've done it.
And you know
you've
what?
You've done it. Now you can do like Caleb. Give me what you promised me, God.
That's it.
Give me my mountain.
Give me what you promise. I say this to you Saturday when we have the banquet. We're going to have most of our board members there.
Oh, glory to God. I like to meet them. That'd be good.
Yes, and I got a seat there for your wife to sit there, my wife, and I got some more people. I got one person going to, and we're going to talk on the radio from there. The board is okay there. We're going to be live.
Amen. Amen. That's a blessing.
It's
That's a
not
blessing.
About me. It's about Yeshua HaMashiach. It's about Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It's about
Come on,
God.
Now. Come on, now. That's it. That's right, Dr. That's it.
Everybody said, no, y'all don't know me. Try to figure me out. Because you know what God's telling me to do. God may have to walk out. Step in the road, and here come a big old snake. And I'm got my head.
Oh,
amen.
Glory to God.
I know what God can do. I watched
mother
when that was food for us young children. I saw my mother get on her knees and cry to God. And the same time she was talking to God, she said, I know these are wrong, these are the children, but their daddy's gone. I don't have no money. They're hungry. They just crying. All of a sudden, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My mother opened the door that sit four big bags of groceries.
Glory to God.
And brother, did we eat?
Did we eat? Glory to God. God special delivered. Y'all special delivered you some food.
Yes. And I just say God is so good. This is so
he sure
good.
Is good.
Amen.
He sure is.
And what Yahweh for us, it was beyond my expectation. And, you know, all my life, I've trusted in him. I believe in him. And I've always said, well, I just need somebody to walk with. I'm not looking for somebody to push aside, to pull up. I want to walk aside. You see, you might have a striding procedure, and that you might have a walking procedure. See, I like that long run. I'm a long runner. See, because a long runner beats you just his pace. He sets his pace.
Yeah. Come on there, Doc. Come
and
on, Doc. That's it.
You ain't got to the top of the mountain yet. And I always say to the people, because a man said in 1964, and they said, where's the class of 1964? He said, I'd like to come through and say, when last seen, they were headed to the mountaintop. And that's what I'm saying. When last seen, they were headed to the promised land.
Last seen them. Glory to God.
Glory, you know, and the word Malo, 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 Ka.
Male.
Amen. You know what?
Male.
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 Like
and
lay. Yeah, you lay down. Male.
Male.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Male. I got to let my tongue fall flat. But I get so excited.
That word means to fulfill what God told you to do. It means to accomplish what God told you to do. It means to carry out. It means to follow what God told you to do. Male.
Male. And here we are. Here we are fulfilling what God has said. The best is yet to
come. That's it. The best is yet to come. Your labor in the Lord. Good God. Now I'm about to run around this house. I know. I don't know everything, but I know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain.
It's not in vain. It's not in vain. And I always say this. The more we trust in him, the more he's going to give us. Amen. I was telling some people out there, Tia, they said, well, honey, you don't talk to us like you used to. I didn't say a word. So the one guy comes to honor, everybody think you ain't with them. I said, no. I said, I've discovered something. I don't have time to talk too much about what's going on in this world, because the world doesn't have an appetite for me, and I don't have an appetite for it.
Come on now. That's it.
They want to cuss. They want to lie. They want to cheat. No, I don't need. No. I don't have an appetite for that.
Dr. Hunter, you just sounded like the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said, we look not at those things which are seen, but we look at those things which are not seen. You ain't got your focus on all the rotten circumstances that's going on and the haters and all the negativity. You ain't looking at that. You're looking at the things that are not seen.
Not seen. And you know what?
Eternal. You're looking at those things which are eternal. You're walking by faith.
And not by sight.
There's two realms.
God,
the physical realm, and you're walking in the spiritual realm.
Yeah, when he had Moses, the children come back, and Moses said, "Well, look, God." So they want to know, who are you? He said, "Tell them I am that I am."
I am.
That's all you need.
That's all I am.
And I was reading some of the days I was sitting on the computer, how that they went from where Adam and the wife, Adam, the woman, they didn't obey God.
Mm-hmm.
But God had a plan. And
mm-hmm.
He has a purpose and a plan. And God's plan always work out. I don't care what nobody say. God has a perfect plan.
His
perfect plan is in his hands. And you know what?
You know what keep me
very proud for my dear brother? Because God is saying, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith.
He's the author and finisher of our faith.
Yes, because this world we live in, America right now, it needs to be in prayer. A lot of people don't want to come to church and be in prayer. I got a couple of friends right now. They need some help. And I'm saying, Lord, which one you want to go to help them? I'm not trying to leave my church, but I want to help them get stronger. One walking, I said, no, I ain't got to have that. I got to go and speak the word. I got to speak the word. And that's what we need this day and time.
That's it.
That's what we need this day and time.
That's it, doctor.
Soul needs to wake up, pull up, and gird up, and pray up.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How to obtain God's promises. Good
God. Woo. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You put the how. Put a big question. Then obtain me to possess something that God has. God
bless right.
His presence.
That's right. Glory to God.
Amen. And
I
want to let you know I thank God for you. I thank God for you, what you've done. I thank you for the teaching that you and the young man has done tonight. Y'all have warmed my heart more than one time, and I thank God for it. And you know one
Glory
thing? I was looking at our old book that we have, and as I was reading, brother, I was looking at this here, Names of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Comforter.
The Comforter.
Paraclete. One who
the Paraclete.
Walks, a helper, comforter.
That's it.
I said,
that's
all
right.
Of this stuff comes back.
Come on.
Not that we know so much, but help us to indoctrinate ourselves what God is saying.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
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 And I want to see you. I thank God for you again. Listen, and the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. And it appears that the rest of the folks are not coming, but I want to let you know, you keep the faith of God. I keep the faith of God and watch God do a great work. Amen?
Amen. Love you, Doctor.
Amen. So I'll see you between now and Saturday, but I will be talking with you, okay?
Okay, Doctor. Okay. Love you now. Bye-bye.
Same here.